Gospel to the book of Mark, chapter 12. And we are going to look at verse 30 and 31. Again, that's the book of Mark, chapter 12, verse 30 and 31. May we stand in reading of God's words, please. Here it says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than this." I'll also read it in Chinese, please.
你要尽心尽力爱主你的神，其次就是说要爱人如己，再没有比这两条诫命更大的了。
May God bless the reading of His words. Sit down, please. You know, by accepting Pastor's invitation to share with you, it is a nice way of our church to say thank you, Pastor. You have done a lot for us, and it's time for you to take a little break. And so we together is sharing our love in a very special way. Love is a word that may be very easy to say, and there are many people that take it a lot of different ways. And we are going to share with you only from one perspective about love today. And, if you remember Reverend Peter Sun, who came and visited us and for an interview about 2 years ago, those who have been here long enough, he came to our church for an interview, and he, at that time, said something to this effect. He said, I really wish that I can dress like Brother King Winfrey and sing like Brother Ni Chen. And I wish to add a few more, and the list can be very long. I wish to be as meticulous and as organized as Brother Mark Tan. I wish to be as logical thinking as Brother Brad, and I wish to be as loving and kind and just always be willing to do things like Brother Field, and I wish to be as knowledgeable as Brother Yun Ho, and the list can just go on and on and on. But right now I just have one word to add. I wish I can preach like Brother Fred. I know that I can only be myself though, and I will preach, and in fact I'm not going to do in the preaching. If Lord willing, I'll do a sharing, and while I'm doing sharing, that God truly would communicate His message by Himself to you. You know, the Valentine's just passed, and it so happened it fell on a Wednesday. Many people actually didn't celebrate the Valentine on Wednesday, they celebrated on Friday and on Saturdays, and continue on maybe today, if some of you may not have already celebrated. But on our church, on Friday night, we celebrated it too. In fact, even on Wednesday, in the TU English Corner, we celebrated the Valentine's Day in a very special way. There were about 15 people or so showed up, and we had candies and cookies and even gifts. And the story about the Valentine, that's what you do during the Valentine's Day. It is more appropriate time to share about love than during the Valentine season. So what is love? There are many, many different kind of definitions of love. And those that were here on Friday night heard some of the definitions that we came up with. And one of them, I thought it was very good. Brother Brad Troy mischievously or jokingly said that love was not easy. After 57 years of marriage, he said love was not easy. You know, some people define love as giving. You know, you give gifts to show your love. Some people define love as something that you do for the goodness of the others, which is like an altruist. You know, in your mind, you always live. And Brother John Graeber have a definition similar to that. He said, "Let others, L-O-V-E, be very exceedingly important to you." Okay, so that's L-O-V-E. That's the way he defined it. So there are many different ways of defining the words of love. And what I'm going to share with you is just a very simple aspect. And in order to demonstrate to you, I need to share with you a email that I received in the other days, and some of you received this. It's about the cracked pot. And let me try to demonstrate to you. But like I said, I'm not going to preach like Brother Fred. Those that are from the Oriental cultures and about my age or older still remembers the way you drink your water, the way you have your water, or the way you fetch your water, if you will. When I was young, what we did was we have two pots, or sometimes it's in barrel shapes. And inside, you go to all the way out to the stream, a brook or a river, and you carry a full pot of water. And then on the other side, you have another pot of water. And then you put it on the shoulder, and you take your water like that. I did that. How many of you had that experience or knows about that? Okay, there are quite a few. And the story went like this. This water bearer in India had two pots, but one of them had a crack. The other was good. So he carried these two pots of water every day, and for sure, the one that has a crack always leak out water. And so for a long time, this water bearer has been doing this for about 2 years. Then one day, this cracked pot felt like he was so ashamed of himself. And he said something to the water bearer. He said, "You know, I've been able for this past 2 years to deliver only half of my load because there is a crack on my side. And that causes water to leak out all the way to your master's house. Because of my flaws, you have to do all the work, and you don't get the full value of your effort." And so the water bearer says, "Why don't you go back to the hill? I want you to notice the side of the road." And so as he carried this again 1.5 full pots of water to the hill, the cracked pot noticed that alongside the rose there are a lot of beautiful flowers. And so that cheered him some. But at the end, he still felt like embarrassed and ashamed because he still could deliver only 1/2 pot of water. So he again apologized to the water bearer and all that. But the water bearer then explained to him, "Did you notice that along the road that all of the flowers are only on one side, and that is on your side? If it were not for the water that have you leaked out during the past 2 years, I would not have been able to take those flowers and decorate my master's table." The essence or the moral of this story is that each of us has a very unique flaws. We have our shortcomings. We have things that we desire not to have. We wish that somebody else has those shortcomings or weaknesses. But we each has. And it's those uniqueness and those shortcomings that make us together as a group of people or as the body of Christ so very more meaningful and interesting and exciting. And that's the aspect of love that I'd like to share with you, is that you would accept the imperfections of the others. That love, through our imperfections, God often And every single time, if you allow Him to carry out His perfect will, it's through those unique flaws and shortcomings and weaknesses that God can really use us. And then as a result, when you accomplish something, that you will say, God, it's you who did it. I couldn't have done it. It's because of God. It's a very important aspect of love, because that's an area where it's very difficult for us to learn. It's very difficult for you to love someone, especially when it is the shortcomings and weaknesses that just cause you troubles, make you feel unhappy, that you just couldn't seem to be able to overcome it. And yet we know that we need to do that, and the way to do that, the only way you can do that, is to follow God's commandments, because that love cannot come from you yourself. That love has to come from God. You know, God loved us first, and He loved us the way we were. He even sent His Son, the one and only Son, to come to this world because He loved us so much that He was willing to give up His own Son, so that in Him we can find our completeness, that in Him we would be able to do the things that will glorify our name, His name, and really accomplish His perfect will. You know, His love is unconditional. And when I came to this church early at 9:05, and I was thinking, you know, I was going to express my love to my dear brothers and sisters in Christ. What is the best way for me to do that? I pray for every seat in this room. And I sense that there are a lot of different needs and maybe hurts, maybe lack of a sense of achievement, or maybe a family problems, or maybe you just couldn't do what you wish that you could have done, or many other things. And I pray for over every row of seats here, one by one, because I love you. Yet that love in me has caused me to go to the second point, which is O. And O stands for obey. If we really take God's love seriously, and we know that He loved us first, and He loved us unconditionally, that He loved the way we were, then there is no other thing that you could do but to obey Him. Obey all the commandments that He has for you. But the most important ones are the ones that we just read. You know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 14, it says that all that you do be done in love. And if you allow yourself to do everything out of love, God will enable you. And He will enable you in many different ways. And yet again, obedience is so very important in the Christian's life. In the Sunday schools that we had this morning, we talked about the true wisdom. Where can we go and find true wisdom? Oftentimes we think that we go to college, that we have so many wise people around us, that we had a good job. You accumulated a lot of knowledge and wisdom, so to speak, along your life. And you could say and choose to say that that these are all that I need, because with this knowledge and this wisdom, I can find a good job, I can provide for a family, and I can do this and do that, and you're successful. Yet, if you have accomplished all of this and not knowing the Lord, you have not got the true wisdom. How do we know that? Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7 says that your stand in awe in front of God, that if you reveal God, that's the beginning of knowledge. That's the beginning of wisdom. What does it mean to have wisdom? The wisdom is something that can only, true wisdom can only come from God. When you revere and you stand in awe in front of God and you say, God, you created me, and that you have a very special purpose for me, that in whatever I do, there is no coincidence. You, with that trust and that belief in Him, you obey Him, and you see that your purpose of your life is not limited to this 50 years or 100 years, let's say 120 years is probably the longest one could live, that that's the end of your life. When you obey God and you come to understand the true wisdom that God wanted you to have, you know that there is eternity after your death. And that's why many people were not very, couldn't understand why Brother S. Sanders was suffering cancer. We discussed that this morning. Sister Lady is suffering from cancer. Sister Anne Shen suffered from cancer and died. And Brother Gary. And the list can go on and on. There are tragedies. There are sufferings. There are illnesses. There are hurts. There are misunderstandings. There are failures in your lives, in your workplace, in your whatever you do. You could experience difficulties and sufferings. But the difference between the Christian and the non-Christian is that Christians take it a long-term perspective, and knowing that the end of this life is not the end of everything. It's just the beginning of a brand new life. It's the eternity that you're going to spend with God. And that's what makes you feel, no, well, I don't have to worry about what is happening right now in my life. What is happening in my life is just something that God is going to use you, which are very often the weaknesses, the thing that you didn't want to have, and that He would use that and He would carry you through. When you obey God, naturally it will come to the third point, and that's the letter V. V stands for victory. If you love God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength, with everything that you have, in all, like the book says, all the being, all moving I have is from God, that you then love your neighbor by obeying God, you will live a very victorious life. And you can only live a victorious life if you depend upon God. You cannot live a victorious life if you depend upon yourself. How many times that we depend on ourselves, on our own strength, on our own wisdom, to try to accomplish something? You know, I have started many things, and I have quit many things. And many people in this room have done the same. Hey, in the church, in the job place, in your family, in whatever you do, you may have started many things, but you may have quit many things too. And the reason that you often choose that will cause you to failure is because you didn't depend upon God. You know, it is clear that it is clear that God wants His people to prosper. If prosperity is the result, it's not the end itself. Many people, in fact, some denominations preach that if you don't prosper, you are not a Christian. You have to make a lot of money, really rich, you know, so people can see, hey, being a Christian is successful. Indeed, there are people that are preaching that. But prosperity is the result, and the prosperity is not necessarily monetary. As the John 3 verse 2 says, that I think it will be good if we all read this in the 3rd John verse 2. It's a very short book. In fact, there's not even a division of chapters in this book. So if you want to pick a book to remember and recite, this will be a good one. But verse 2 says, "Dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, or all may prosper, even as your soul is getting along well." In some version says, "Even your soul prospers." It's victory in your life is very important indeed, not monetarily, as I said, but it's how people see a difference in you being a Christian versus those that are non-Christians. If you love God and you love your neighbor and you obey God, then you naturally live a very victorious life. And if you have this victory in your life that you are blessed with by God, then naturally you will go to the fourth point, which is letter E. And E stands for evangelism. If you do not take care of your own needs, either as an individual or as a church, you couldn't go out there and you want to evangelize the people. Either you lack of strength and loving joy and kindness and peace in your own family, if you don't live a godly life and experience the triumphant life that God wanted you to have, you couldn't evangelize. The evangelism yet is very important in the great commandment that each of us as a Christian knows, that you need to go into all the world to preach God's words so people will come to know Him. You know, you live your own life and you accept the law and you got saved, you baptized and become a member of church. Salvation is important. But salvation is not simply for you to qualify to go to the heaven. Salvation is God given to you for free so that you will go and turn around and preach what He wants you to preach. Share what you want you to share. And show God's love to all the people around you. So you, as a result, evangelize the people and bring in more people to God. That's the whole purpose of your salvation. You know, when I was praying over in this room, I truly feel that some people have felt like that their life is like this letter of strings. And this says I-A-M-N-O-W-H-E-R-E. What is that? Some people say what? I'm nowhere. I am nowhere. You may have a sin issue to deal with. You may not. You may just feel like you are comfortable coming to the church and doing different things and everything is just all right. But you feel like your life is not going anywhere. Or your relationship with your family is not going anywhere. Or your relationship with your boss is not going anywhere. Or maybe you just have a hard time finding yourself where you are. I tell you what, it takes just an attitude and perspective to know that you could be, I am now here. It's the same strings of letters, very same letters, but look how big of a difference it could make if you truly understand the importance of love. And I bring this back to this. What does this have to do with this? When I was singing the song and I asked Brother King to pick up some songs that relates to love, and yet at the end he picked a song, "It Is Well." I thought this is totally out of context. Why'd you choose the one that is with love? Because that's what I'm going to talk about. But tell you what, that ties in with this topic just perfect. In it, if you see one of the words that stand out very well, is you nailed your sins to the cross. You cannot love if you have sin in your life. You cannot love and obey if you have sin in your life. You cannot love and obey and you want to live a victorious life. You cannot love and obey and want to live a victorious life and wanted to evangelize if you have sin in your life. It's very important that we come to know the Lord and be willing to submit our wills to God. You know, what we need are not so much of someone that is very knowledgeable about Bible, preaching, doing a lot of things. What we really need are the hearts that are responsive to Him. That He will choose to demonstrate His power through you, regardless of your weaknesses, regardless of the cracks on your part, regardless of your flaws and your shortcomings and the weaknesses that you have. That if your heart is so filled with love for God and you are watching for the first opportunity to serve, to say, like Isaiah, "Here I am, send me. Go and evangelize." And that's the topic of what I wanted to share with you. That's the love, the true love that God has demonstrated to us through our lives and given us the salvation. And now we need to do what He commanded us to do. But like I said, if you couldn't take care of yourself, if you have sin in your life, if you have difficulties along your way to know God because something just bothers you, that's what I'm going to pray for you about today. And in a little bit we are going to do an invitation. Some of you may be looking for a job or maybe changing a job. Some of you may are looking for a mate, a girlfriend or a boyfriend. And or education for your children, making a choices, hard decisions sometimes. Or if you are looking for a church, or if you are already a believer and you know that you have confessed to God that you accepted Him as your Savior, you accepted Jesus, but yet just in you, you just couldn't overcome the obedience issue of wanting to follow God's instruction to be baptized. Or if some of you may be trying to decide a church home. You know, there are many different needs in you and I don't know about. but I know that God does. And that's what I sense as I pray over each chair in this room. As we sing out the invitation song, I pray that you will come to the front and share with God of what you have in your hearts. We'll pray for you. Pastor Schmidt is still here. Brother Kim is here, and Brother Fields are here. We will be happy to pray for you.